Hey there, and welcome to Envision Podcast. My name is Ilse, and I will be your host for today's episode. On this podcast, we provide you with all updates about Envision and have conversations with people that we look up to and that spike our interest. Today, we will be discussing living abroad with Parham, but first, a little bit of news from our side at Envision. Parham already has the Envision glasses, but if you also want a pair of Envision glasses and want to download the Envision app, then from today until the 24th of December, we will pick one person who will win a pair of Envision glasses when they subscribe to either our annual or lifetime subscription. So get yourself a subscription now, and we hope for you that you'll be the winner. And then now, Parham, welcome.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me. It's a lot of pleasure to be here. So close to the holidays.
Yeah, so close to the holidays. And that's actually one of the big reasons why we wanted to talk to you today, because people who spike our interest, and you are definitely one of them for us. Thanks. We have been working together. I mean, you've been helping us out with the Envision app and the glasses, of course, but can you tell me what it's like to live abroad when being visually impaired? Because you do not live in your home country.
Yes, a little bit of background there. I'm actually from Iran, and I relocated to the Netherlands when was it? 4 years ago? Yeah, 4 years ago. And so now it's pretty, I'm kind of like used to the Netherlands. In the beginning, it was really hard to get used to like all the things while also having to go to work for like 8.5 hours. But then, now it's a lot better, and now I'm more used to the Netherlands. That's how I also got involved with Envision, because you guys are in the Netherlands, so that's how.
That's true. And what did the process look like for moving, and how did you decide to go to the Netherlands?
So the process of coming here, or the process of making a life here, or the process of
a lot of different processes involved.
Yeah, lots
here.
Of processes. I don't know.
So first of all, how did you make the decision to move here?
So I started programming when I was around like 14 years old. When I got older, around like 18 or 19 years old, I understood that, luckily enough, I actually have the, like, computer programmers, it's pretty easy for them to move around in the world. So I started from the first day that I was employed, when I was like 21, I started like working on my skills so that I would be basically at some point relocated by a company. And getting hired as an Iranian is pretty hard, but also getting a company to relocate you is pretty hard. So I had to get good enough to be worth the investment, because it's like around 15,000-16,000 euros to move a person here from Iran, and you need to like pay for lawyers and stuff like that. So that was like a long process that I had to go through. But when I was applying for jobs outside of Iran, I was basically going for all the European countries. I didn't really have one in common or one in mind. I just got accepted into Booking in the Netherlands and HelloFresh in Germany, and I came to the Netherlands, everyone spoke English, so I was like, yay. So that was mostly it. The fact that people speak English pretty well here like made the decision for me. And the political system is amazing. Just saying.
Is that in regards to the corona situation that's going on, or in general?
No, I like the fact that because I come from a country where, and also like there are a lot of countries that have this kind of like political system where you have one or two or a group of people that can suddenly grab the execution power, And so one of the things that I like about the Netherlands is that there is less chance of one group of interest suddenly taking over the entire execution, like the executive system of the country. So that makes me feel kind of safe in, because like people with disabilities are the like first people that get affected. Well, they are among the first people that get affected in when someone who doesn't really care about doing things right manages to get the wrong people together.
Well, yes, I can imagine. And is that also one of the factors that are most important to you when moving here or when living here? The fact that you're blind, is there a lot of support for you?
There is support, certainly much more than there was support in Iran, so I can give you that. But yeah, I think one of the things that I've noticed is that I came here with a lot of high expectations about, like, because I was coming from an environment where the general thing that you hear all the time is, oh yeah, Iran is not a great country if you have a disability. If you go to other countries, then everything is great. And then I came here expecting that, yay, everything is going to be great. If I have a problem, it will probably get resolved in a week. And then I think that didn't actually happen. But like in general, the fact that, for example, when we came here, because I and my wife are both blind, and we came here not knowing, for example, how to cross the street. What do the sounds on the like traffic lights mean? I was actually getting them backwards. I was always crossing the street for like 2 months for when it was red for pedestrians. And but like at least it took I'm working with physio, and it took them like 2 months to put us in a training. But at least the fact that they managed to pull it off in 2 months is pretty good.
It's not too long, but those 2 months you had to survive by yourself, you and your wife.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And also we basically came here without having lived by ourselves before. So imagine suddenly we're here, no friends, no family, and now we have to begin living together from scratch while having lived with our families, who are Our families are very protective. So like we basically had to learn everything from scratch.
Wow. And how do they support your independence?
Basically at this point, it's mostly like just believing in the fact that we can pull this off. Like they were super worried in the beginning, especially my parents. My parents were just not used to me living apart from them, and there is this this belief that, oh yeah, I wouldn't be able to do anything if I was blind, so I have no idea how my son can do that. So there was a lot of that I had to like make my family basically okay with the fact that I'm living apart from them. The first time they came here to visit us, I think after that, everyone is a lot happier because they actually came here, saw that we have like our own house and stuff is not all over the place, and there are no like rat infestations, but like I think when they came and saw the fact that and you also have to imagine, like in Iran, I couldn't even go to the supermarket because the streets were not really constructed with blind people in mind. Now the fact that I can go to Albert Heijn here and buy something is it was like a marvelous achievement for my parents when they came to visit. Like, oh my god, you can go do your own shopping without ordering a taxi to take you to the thing. And so like I think them coming here and seeing the facilities here also helped a lot.
So it really helps you in becoming independent moving here. It feels like a big step, but I hear a lot of people in the community talking about, you know, I wanna move to a different country, you know, whether it's for work or just gain experience or just to travel and feel different cultures. Like, what is the advice that you would give them?
I think like back then we didn't really have Envision classes, so that didn't really help. But like for me, one thing that really helped me was in Be My Eyes for learning. For example, I had a touchscreen thermostat, and coming from Iran, Dutch houses are cold.
Like, yes, I can imagine.
I mean, like Iran gets to like minus 10 degrees in winter, but like we don't care about like environmental like effects or impact or like all of that. We just turn on all the radiators full blast. And so like here I had to like, for example, learn, okay, so where's the touchscreen button to turn on the to put the temperature higher or take it down lower, and stuff like that, where if I can't just call someone, because there is like, especially back then, there, we didn't really have friends. We were starting from a social circle of zero. And so like, it was really great to have access to a community then. And I would say that if someone's thinking of moving to a different country, not having high expectations about like, oh yeah, I'll go there and be productive on week two or week three. I think that's one thing that they can do for themselves. And also like having, if they have Envision classes, have a lot of allies ready, because they're going to have to deal with, oh yeah, how do I get to the metro? How do I get, where's the train? How does the train here work? I've heard that there's a button that you can press and it tells you the timetable, but I don't know where to find the button, and you know, stuff like that. And and so like one, if Envision connects to Be My Eyes, that would be even that would make their job a lot easier as well.
Yeah, so it's really getting those extra pair of eyes to help you out in situations that you just don't know, because yeah, it's totally new.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the starting with a friend circle of zero. Luckily, you are together. That's amazing. How do you get on with that? Like, how do you find people? Is it work, or tell me?
Sorry, I didn't catch the question. How do I get on with what? Say that again.
So you mentioned about the friend circle starting from zero, and you're together, but how do you build a friend circle in a new country?
Oh yeah, that's a really great question that I and it fits into what you said about like giving advice to people who are moving. I was actually reading this study that InterNations did about how easy it is to find friends, and if I remember right, in the top 10 hardest to find friends in, I think the Netherlands was like the third. So it's not the worst country, but pretty close. So like, and based on the experience of expats coming to different countries. So like, I think a country like Netherlands sounds like it's a little bit especially challenging. But like for us, what really helped a lot was like we randomly had neighbors that spoke English, and they were around our age, and they were comfortable like inviting us over. That was actually our very first, they gave us the very first taste of Christmas, because like you know, in Iran we don't really have Christmas. So like they we told them, and we were like, yeah, I don't really know what Christmas is, and they were like, wow, okay, so you can come to our parents' house. And we came over to her parents' house, and then they were like, oh yeah, so in the Netherlands we do like grilling like this, and like, you know, when there is this big round grill that they have in the middle, and then everyone just gets together and puts mini pizzas on the stone and stuff. So that was really interesting, and like they introduced us to what people eat in the Netherlands for Christmas and stuff. So that was a really great experience, but also getting inside a Dutch family was really interesting in terms of like understanding the culture. But from then on, most if not all of our friends, I think I only have one friend who is Dutch, but like all of our friends are expats. And because like they do not have their social circle already made up, and they are just as like they're looking for friends just as much as we are. So like it's much easier to get to know expats as opposed to people who are already from a country and they already have their social circle here, and they have a whole ton of family and friends.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And I know about the study that you just mentioned, and I know that it is because of the friend circles that people in the Netherlands have. It's hard to get into those circles somehow. But yeah, it's always good to find yourself a group of expats that are like-minded.
Yeah, totally. And I think one benefit that Corona had for... Okay, I think Corona had a lot of benefits for me, and I think a lot of people who also have visual impairments, because like it pushed the world to go more virtual.
Yeah.
Aside from like all the problems that came with Corona, but like for example, like it's made my work a lot easier. I don't have to commute for 2 hours and all of that. But also one other thing that it's made possible is to connecting to people without worrying about, oh yeah, how will I get to Apeldoorn? Right, that it's now a lot easier to just connect to someone in The Hague without having to figure out, okay, how do I figure the train connections from Almere to The Hague, and which stop should we go to, and oh my god, I'm going to freeze to death on the way there. so that's I think that certainly makes things a lot easier to find people with like who are like-minded, because you can get around interests. Like, yeah, people in the Netherlands who like, I don't know, playing the piano or something like that. It's much easier to get those people together online.
Yes, totally. I think that is definitely something positive that Corona brought us. Plus not going out and freezing to death, of course.
Totally, yes. I don't care if it's winter anymore.
Yes. Hey, and about those online communities, because I assume that they are everywhere internationally. So do you then still communicate a lot also with communities back in Iran or mostly here? Or is it super international? Are there no boundaries anymore?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't really communicate with people in Iran anymore, mostly because text-to-speech software does not read Farsi. And like when we were in Iran, we had like a Windows computer with NVDA, which has an open source text-to-speech synthesizer called eSpeak, and then we added Farsi to it, and like there was a whole ton of like work from a lot of people to make that possible. But now, because of my work, I have to use the Mac, and VoiceOver does not read Farsi at all. So that just basically puts me out of touch with people. And also, like, I found the mindset of people here to be a lot less stressful for me, because like in Iran you have a whole ton of issues, and the whole general vibe online is very negative, and it's like the sarcasm is the most fun you can find. It's like like people making jokes about why my life sucks, but like I think generally I like communities that are more Western, because they, I guess, the issues don't leak into the internet that much, and that's also why I stay away from communities that are entirely, for example, in the United States, because that's very similar to Iran. You get the like the people's emotions leaking into the social media very often, and I haven't been reading the news for like 15 years now, because I don't want to be like negatively affected by like all the like news that you hear. So like just not reading that and then going to social media and absorbing all of those emotions, so that's why I'm very careful about what communities I go to. And like I found that one-on-one conversations like this one, I like them the most because they allow me to connect to the person I'm talking to, as opposed to like a big forum where everyone can come and everyone can just dump their opinions and disappear.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually very beautiful. It's more in depth on a personal level.
Yeah, yeah.
And so no Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're still going to the, you know, even the first year we got a Christmas tree, we were like, what is a Christmas? Because like, this is really interesting. Like I tell my friends about this, like when you don't see the stuff that's on TV, you don't know a lot of things. Like what's Christmas? What do people mean when they say it smells like Christmas? What does that even mean? Like you don't really know that when you haven't had Christmas. And then we came here and went, oh yeah, it's cinnamony and sugary and lots of oil. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
but even in the first year we got a Christmas tree, which meant our house was full of pine needles, and then we had to figure out, ooh, how do you collect all these pine needles all over the place, you know? And so that was interesting. that was an interesting
something new.
Yeah. But then we were in Amsterdam at the time, so like Uber Eats would also deliver Christmas trees to your house. So that was fun. Like it was fun to just call Uber Eats and then have a tree delivered right into your house. We won't have any of that stuff anymore, but at least we can use the holidays and go to a fun hotel and do something different for a change.
Yeah, now you do have the days. Oh, and that's nice too, to be out of the house for a little bit every now and then.
Yeah. We haven't been out of the house much. Especially, I think the fact that I had to go to work made it easier for me to go like, oh, it's so cold, but I have to go, so fine. I think I need to go look at the Wim Hof Iceman guy.
Oh, yes.
To get
yes.
like really like, yeah, I don't care, it's snowing, I'm gonna walk with shorts and t-shirt. But but like yeah, so it's good to get so we're going away for like 3 days to a hotel and having like food 24/7 and we're not going to have any spa because of corona, but still.
Oh, but still you're gonna get treated with good food and a little bit of Christmas spirit.
Yes, definitely the Christmas spirit is fun. I've been actually hearing a lot about Sinterklaas in Albertine and everywhere I go, so
yeah,
we didn't have any Sinterklaas showing up at our house, but I'm sure at some point we'll get there.
I'm sure you will. It is part of the deal when living here.
yeah, totally.
Oh man. And how do you, so you already mentioned, like I heard something about Sinterklaas in the grocery stores and everywhere basically, but how do you navigate if there are busy crowds? Because even during corona, there is still a lot of people on the streets. How do you navigate?
I personally just don't. I just
I just want to say, don't.
I don't. No, but like I basically try to do most of our shopping around November when people go crazy around the Cyber Monday and the Black Friday and all of those like stuff. So because also ordering online during the Christmas time is very unstable, but also like it could be just me, I guess. Like one of the problems that I have is that it's not easy to get in touch with blind people and swap stories like this and gather experiences. So I can't validate that whether it's because I'm blind or if it happens to everyone. But for I and my wife, we don't really go browsing. We only go out shopping when we want something very specific. Like, hey, I'm in... what's the name of this perfume store?
Douglas.
Yeah, I'm in Douglas. I'm looking for a perfume. I don't even know what I want. Can you help? Or like, yeah, I'm looking for this specific like smell or this specific cologne or this specific brand and the specific like model. Can you fetch that? Even with Albert Heijn or like grocery shopping in general, what we do is like, hey, here's the list. Could I walk with you? And then we fetch all the items. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm coming to Albert Heijn to see all the new stuff that you have because of the like Christmas. So like we don't really do browsing like that. So what we end up doing is that just we order online. We order the things that we want and we just wait for them to be delivered.
I mean, honestly, it is very easy and you don't have to deal with and crowds and needing assistance or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you want to buy clothes.
Unless you want to buy clothes. Well, I also don't do that in the city anymore.
No, no.
No.
Yeah, but you can also look on online for the clothes because it's easier to browse for them online. We basically have to go by feeling like, oh, yeah. What kind of like jeans do you have? Oh yeah, this one feels kind of nice. What colors are available? And I basically just ask the store manager or like whoever is helping me like, hey, what color would you suggest that's easier and it goes with basically everything so I don't have to worry about matching colors. but yeah, shopping online for clothes for me is just not possible.
No. So you don't have any good how do you say the description that makes you feel comfortable purchasing it online?
Yeah The only way I can think about that is if you set like 700 euros aside, order a whole ton of different clothes, try them on and send back the ones that you don't like, but that's too much trouble.
Yeah, then you have to send them. It's extra work.
Yeah I'd rather get friends with Wim Hof and figure out how to deal with the cold and walk there.
Yes, exactly. Oh man. Well, I asked all the questions that I had. I'm really oh, one more about work. How is it going?
Oh yeah. Not sure if the listeners caught that I said booking.com.
Yes.
So, yeah, work is okay. I think people at Booking were certainly surprised when Corona hit because, like, I think a lot of the when people in Booking were talking, they would always say that travel is never going away. Well, turns out,
it is.
But everyone, because of this assumption, was caught pretty much by surprise in the beginning. But what I noticed was that the people in the company were pretty quick in changing direction and saying, okay, fine, we're not going to have a good few years, but then we need to put ourselves in a place where we can come back stronger. And I really liked that kind of like mindset because it's good to accept where you are and say, yeah, fine, I can't really do much about this, so I guess I'll just figure this out. But on a more like sad side of this, I think about 10,000 people lost their jobs or something like that, and that is a whole ton of people. That was not the good side of this whole story. But at least the good thing is that I can see these people being hired back in some form or another pretty soon when people figure out how to travel again.
Yeah, because they will. I mean, it will return, of course, but there's a couple of years maybe in between that the company has to focus on what's gonna happen next.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's great because my wife is always the one that wants to travel and I'm like, no, I'd rather just sit home. I don't know Wim Hof yet. But like this year we had one of our best years in our relationship because we didn't have to argue about going on the trip anymore.
Where a lot of people have a hard time living together in Corona, you have the best time because you don't have to leave.
Yeah, yeah. And also, well, it's I think it's we're in the beginning of our marriage, right? Like we've been married for like 4 years. So these are the times where you really like spending time with one another, and not having to commute really helps. Being able to leave your desk and go say like, hey, how's your day going and stuff like that, that also helps a lot. So we've certainly grown a lot closer to one another because of me working from home.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. That's amazing. Farham, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you shared with me today. Is there anything else that you say, okay, people should know this about, you know, living in a different country or whatever?
I think and this applies to basically everything. And I hope it doesn't come off as a cliche, but the only thing that I would say is that there is a lot of negative energy around what people with like different disabilities or neurodiversity can do. And it's really easy to get caught up in that narrative of, oh no, but I can't do much because I'm blind or I have ADHD. I can never study because I don't know, I have dyslexia and you know, stuff like that. So it's really hard to get drawn into that negative narrative. But if you think that going to a different country means a better life for you, I've certainly done it. And it's certainly possible, and it's not easy, but it's not impossible, and it's a little bit difficult. But when you look at it, like in hindsight, it's actually pretty okay. So if that's something that you want to do, definitely figure it out and try it, and you're going to have a really great time.
Thank you so much for this. Thank you all for joining us on today's episode. If you would like to keep up to date with us, be sure to follow us on social media at letsenvision.com and be sure to catch our podcast on other platforms. We're also on Google Podcasts and Spotify these days. And don't forget to get yourself the Envision app to win yourself a pair of glasses. And again, Farham, thank you so much.